Welcome, friends. Thank you for joining us in what we're calling a conspiracy of goodness. Larry Long playing the guitar, singing songs, telling the stories of people from all over America, what he's been doing so well for these last 40 years. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and we're friends. In all these years, we've been involved in serving the common good for a greater good and meeting so many good people along the way. Thank you for joining us. Today, our theme is courage. Courage comes from the French word cœur, which means heart. So as we sit and listen to each other today, how's the condition of your heart? Is your heart in it? What are all the things that you know by heart? What are all the stories that you will tell today that are heartfelt? Are you still tender-hearted and warm-hearted? Because we meet so many people now that are hard-hearted or cold-hearted. But more importantly, there's so many people that are broken-hearted. What's the condition of your heart? It's a source of our courage. Let's celebrate.
Brothers and sisters, ancestors are with us now. While we carry sacred freedom to prison grounds, sing it loud, run for freedom, run for freedom, brothers and sisters, brave and strong, run for freedom, run for freedom. Out of the darkness will come the dawn. We have suffered, been convicted of crimes not done. Locked behind walls by the laws of the white man's gun. And that's why we run for freedom, run for freedom, brothers and sisters, brave and strong, run for freedom, run for freedom. Out of the darkness will come the dawn.
Courage. Oftentimes it's an unlikely virtue because we never know when it's going to be evoked. We never know when someone will step forward and literally change our lives. In 1975, I was going to graduate school in Seattle, Washington, and I had joined a Christian community that was living with people with different abilities. It was a Sunday morning, and I was having a cup of coffee, and I was reading a sports page when there was a knock on the front door. I go to the front door, and there is a woman, not very tall, a little bit broad. You could see that maybe she hadn't had a chance for a shower for a couple of days, and in her hand she had a paper napkin, and she said in a halting voice, "Is Paul here?" And I said, "No, Paul is at church. Would you like to come in and have a cup of coffee with me?" "Please," she said. And she came in, sat down, and put the napkin down in front of her, brought her a cup of coffee, and she said, "Hi, my name's Ann." And I said, "Hi, Ann, my name's Tom." She said, "I live in a group home around the corner, and I know Paul. And in the group home, people are mean to us, and people get scared, and they come into my room, and I pray with them, but it's hard." She said, "I was born in an insane asylum. That's what they used to call it. My mother was a refugee from Russia, and she had a breakdown and was placed in the state hospital. That's where I was born. My father didn't want the stigma, so he moved away. And when my mom finally got out, we had no place to go. So we've been going from city to city. And my mom's died, and I ended up in a group home." She said, "This is what they gave us for breakfast." And she unrolled this napkin, and then it was a half-cooked pancake. This is wrong. This is wrong. If they find out that I'm here, they could throw me out, but this is wrong. And I just thought Paul could help me. I had teachers from across the globe that summer, but I never met anybody who had so much moral courage, who would stand up and speak the truth, even at risk, to her place of living. A woman who was so fragile and vulnerable, but a heart filled with compassion. Thank you, Anne, for being my teacher.
Eagle flies, soaring spirit on the run. Sacrifice, offering prayers beneath the sun while the horses run for freedom. Run for freedom. Brothers and sisters, brave and strong, run for freedom. Run for freedom. Out of the darkness will come the dawn. Crazy horse, we remember the life you gave. Crazy horse, through your courage, we are not afraid to shout and say, run for freedom, run for freedom. Brothers and sisters, brave and strong, run for freedom, run for freedom. Out of the darkness will come the dawn.
The only thing that allows evil to triumph over good, said Edmund Burke, is for enough good people to do nothing. Apathy is our real enemy, and the way to overcome it is with courage, to work from the heart, to act from the heart, to speak from a heart filled with goodness. Courage.
Yeah, Tom, the song I was just singing is called Run for Freedom. And I wrote that with Lakota children from Standing Rock, from the Seven Council Fire Nation. And I was invited out there to write music with children who were running from Pine Ridge, Rosebud, Standing Rock, from all the different reservations of their great nation, and they were running with sacred prayer staffs. And while they were running, they were praying. And I was the only white person on that run, and it forever changed my life. Because I saw the courage and the humility and the prayerfulness of these young children who were running with sacred prayer staffs, and they were running to the prison in Sioux Falls while inmates from their nation were also running and simulating the run from inside the prison. And with these prayer staffs, they were going to arrive at the prison gate, and those prayer staffs were going to be exchanged, filled with all the prayers of their nation and for their people, and for the full recovery of those incarcerated so they could be set free and live a bountiful, good life. But as we neared Sioux Falls, a young girl, Wombly Wakan Wee, Brave Eagle Woman was the name she was given, Kimberly Rose Means, was struck and killed by a drunken driver. And that drunken driver happened to be white. And he got freed on a misdemeanor charge. And we all know if it would have been different than that, if it would have been a Lakota who would have ran over a white child, more than likely would have been in prison for decades and decades to come. So instead of making it into the prison that year, we turned around to a memorial on the Rosebud Reservation of Lakota people. And the words that I was singing were words written with the children on the run. And I would ask them, why are you running for freedom? And those were the verses I sang. But as we came close to Rosebud for Kimberly's memorial, I turned to the children and said, what should we write for Kimberly? And they wrote this. When the winds whisper, we will remember Kimberly. Child of tomorrow, day of sorrow, tragedy. But she believed in this. Run for freedom, run for freedom. Brothers and sisters, brave and strong. Run for freedom, run for freedom. Out of the darkness will come the dawn. Homotakweasa, all my relations.
You are such a marvelous teacher and songwriter. The Jewish Talmud says this. That mere act of teaching means that one wishes the world well. Wishes the world well. And we think of ourselves as teachers and now as elders, but along the way, how many children have taught us? So as I'm looking now at the end of an academic career and I'm thinking back, I'm thinking about all those students who taught me. Sometimes I'm wondering, why aren't I paying tuition to learn so much? And I was teaching a class on morality. And it was in March, and one of my students, a very precocious sophomore nursing student, full of energy, couldn't wait to get out of class because she was training for a marathon, got into her sweats and ran across town and ran on the running rabbit trail through the lacrosse march. Well, that afternoon, there was a man in the marsh whose heart was filled with hate or evil, and he jumps out with a knife, and he cuts her throat and pierces her cheek. Another runner comes along and he runs off. Well, thank God the next runner had a cell phone and calls the EMT. And they come out and they pick her up and they bring her over to the emergency room. And here's this young woman, 19, in a pool of blood. And she's bleeding in her own blood. And the surgeon comes in and she says, when you call my mom, tell her not to freak out. I'm going to be okay. She was in surgery, I think had over 300 stitches that afternoon. Her parents came down. Father had called the president of the university and teachers and said, listen, you can come home and finish the semester at home. She said, no, I'm going to stay. And he thought it was the anesthesia. So came back on Saturday morning and all day long, you know, pleaded, they're going to come. No, I'm going to stay. The gentleman had no idea what a strong, courageous young woman he had raised. And so on Sunday, she's released from the hospital. On Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, she calls me and says, Tom, I'm going to be a little bit late for class. I have to see the DA in the afternoon. I have students who call up thinking that they might be sick because they're feeling a cold coming on, and here's a young woman. And she says, I'll be 15 minutes late. She comes to class, and she puts her books down, and there's stitches. You can see them, some bandages and a little drop of blood. And her friend is next to her and taking a little gauze and wiping off where one of the stitches had kind of broken loose. And I'm lecturing and I come back and every time I'm speaking, she's still looking at me. She's taking notes. And at the end, everybody had left. And I said, how are you? She said, I'm going to be okay. I said, really? Yes. What you taught us is this. Evil doesn't win. Good always triumphs over evil. Isn't that what you're telling us? That man's not going to take away my life. I will not live in fear. I'm going to graduate and become a nurse. I'm going to run that marathon. Well, by golly, if she doesn't run the marathon, becomes a nurse, graduates, is married and has small children. And I'll never forget the courage of that young woman. I only hope to God that when I have the opportunity, I can respond with the same kind of goodness and grace and courage.
I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down and I pray. I pray to the black rock of the west. So my people, they might live to the red rock of the north. So my people, they might live to the yellow rock of the east. So the people, they might live to the white rock of the south. What more can I give? I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down and I pray. I pray.
You know, when you're teaching, you never know those children what they're going to become. As a matter of fact, I was through my youth and elder work that got all started really with those children on the run for freedom. When I started writing music with children and discovered the power of collective songwriting through the wisdom of children, I got brought out to the foot of Crazy Horse Mountain and got wrapped in a star quilt as a gift for the work I was doing with youth and elders a decade after that run for freedom. Actually, it was 15 years after that run for freedom. And at that time, I was going through a major health issue. Specifically, I had a nodule on my vocal cords and I could no longer sing. And I was told by the doctor that I needed to go into vocal silence to try to shrink this nodule or this polyp. And I was in the midst of that treatment when I was wrapped in the star quilt. And there was a Lakota gentleman there who said, well, why don't you come to Pine Ridge on the reservation, because there's a medicine man, an elder, a healer, named Warfield Moose. I'd like to have you meet him. And they brought me down into the sweat lodge and prayed and then invited me into a very sacred gathering, the Sundance of the Lakota people. And Warfield Moose happened to be 12 years of age and on the run for freedom at the time that I was. So he was the man who was helping me heal to get my voice back. And as you can tell, I'm singing. And he was a healer. And he brought me in to the Sundance.
To all nations of this earth, to the winged ones in flight, to the women giving birth on the sacred road of life, a voice I now send. What more can I do? I offer you my flesh, and the rest, it's up to you, and you, and you, and you. I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life. I lay my burdens down and I pray. I pray. I pray. I pray.
We want to thank you all for listening and spending this time with my good friend Tom Thibodeau, a servant leader. We've been friends for decades, and this is truly sacred time we're spending together. And I just want to personally thank each and every one of you for all that you do, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, friends. Until we meet again, peace and all good.
You have been listening to Conspiracy of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.